Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to verse 18. There are certain passages in the Bible where God asks us in a very beseeching manner. He will plead with us to love one another. But there are other occasions where he is not pleading, he is commanding us like the commander-in-chief. And this is one of those many passages where it is a command. It is an action passage, where the focus is not so much in terms of time, but in terms of action. The imperatives that are used here in this passage focus not on time, that would be the present imperative, but the imperative that is used here is an action imperative. Those who know Greek, it's called aorist. The focus, therefore, will be on the actions of every believer. We live in a world that is not our friend. It is not our home. It is a wicked and dangerous world where the price would be the souls of men, women, and children. And in this passage, written by the Apostle Paul from prison, he is not writing to us something theoretical. He is writing to us from his own experience, from his heart. He struggled, and here he reveals to us by the inspiration of the Spirit of God how we too, when we are struggling, how we can protect ourselves. And so in the concluding few words of this epistle, he gave the Christians, he calls them finally my brethren, my brothers, my sisters in Christ. These are the words of encouragement to you when you face the struggles, the vicissitudes of life as a Christian. If you are a Christian and your colleagues and your school friends do not know that you are a Christian, the question is, why are you not a Christian in front of them? Why are you only a Christian when you come to church? Do your parents know that you are a Christian? Because as a Christian, when you testify for Christ, you'll be prepared for the onslaught. You'll be prepared for trials and difficulties. It will surely come your way. First chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 29. God gave us that promise. We are not called only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for his name's sake. Jesus says to his disciples, if they had hated me first, and if you are my disciples, rest assured they're going to hate you also. So this passage will be a great comfort to those who are bearing a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you are a schoolboy or a schoolgirl, or whether you are working, we need this encouragement. Because you will find that the struggle is not on the outside. The struggle is you. And it is inside us, as this passage would reveal. And so the first note to bear in mind in verses 10 and 11a is that this is a spiritual command. It is therefore not an option that any one of us should pick and choose. It is not a buffet table. You pick and choose. You like it, you take it on. You don't like it, you ignore it. The commander-in-chief is telling us, you put it on. It is not an option. Before that, he says, you be strong in the Lord, because that's what putting on the whole armor of God means. It means you be strong in the Lord. This is telling us that each and every one of us must not be strong in your own reputation. In the power that the world gives you as a CEO, you must not be strong in your money, in your education. Well, you have your doctorate, I am a somebody, and you have your confidence in self, confidence in friends, confidence in connections. For the Christians in this warfare, there is only one strength that we must cling on to, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. No one else, nowhere else. Be strong in the Lord. How strong are you in the Lord, dear friends? Because without this strength, we are going to be easy prey to the roaring lion, to Satan and his minions. They're going to make shipwreck of our faith, of our walk with the Lord. All he needs to do is to dangle some temptation in our face. You have a problem with money? The IR is heating up. Very soon, casinos will be just right round the corner. You don't have to go overseas. It's very easy now. If you have a problem with money, remember that the love of money is the root of all evil. You are tempted to buy 4D. You gamble. You play mahjong. These are all the temptations that will come. They will be there. It's up to you how to react and respond to all these temptations. You have a problem with alcohol. You have a problem with sex, with women, fornication. You begin with your mind. It is out there. It is there to ensnare and to trap. If you are not strong in the Lord, you're going to capitulate. Young and old alike, Satan doesn't care. He doesn't bother. You read the chapter concerning the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19, and you will find that the homosexuality was from the richest to the poorest, from men, including children. And now there are countries legalizing two homosexual couples adopting babies. What kind of children do you think they are going to grow up into? Homosexuals learn from two moms or two dads. This is the world that we are living in. And we are thrusting our children as parents into this kind of world and environment. And if we are not strong in the Lord, we are not going to pass this strength on to our children, because you will be what you are, like father, like children. How strong are you in the Lord? Because this will be what you're going to hand over to your sons and your daughters as well. If your strength is in money, you're going to pass this on to them. And you know how weak money is. It's useless in the spiritual realm. It is only good for the three-dimensional world. Money is only good when you use it, isn't it? If it's locked up in the bank somewhere, it is useless. It's designed for one purpose, and that's for spending. If you don't spend it, it's useless. And how good is that in the spiritual realm? It serves no purpose at all. Zero. All the education of the world will do us no good. You want to use your science, your computer knowledge to attack Satan and his minions? You're going to fall flat in your face. He has more than 5,000-6,000 years to master the art of deception. He was there at the time of Adam and Eve, before the fall. And he continued to exist throughout all the centuries of mankind. You think you, with your own wisdom, can stand against Satan? We will fall flat in our face. Only strength in the Lord. And that's how the Apostle Paul experienced it in his life. And that's how he wants us to also embrace the same strength. And in the power of his might, God's might, strength and power, because we are going to deal with enemies that are supernatural. Supernatural. You think atomic warfare, all these are powerful. These are nothing in the spiritual realm. One small little hiccup from the sun is more powerful than all the atomic weapons in existence today combined together. Spiritual realm, units spiritual weapons, not carnal weapons. Carnal weapons are useless. Parents, children, grandparents, do not equip ourselves with carnal weaponry. It is only good for this earth. It is only good to keep body and soul together to help us make a living. That's all. Beyond this, it's totally useless. It's not even good for eternity. You may be the best eye surgeon. When we have the glorified body, our eyes will never fail. Heart surgeon. All the legal knowledge, you're the best lawyer in the whole world. The only law you need up there is God's word. Any science, any art that is of this world is only good for this world. And we know this world will be destroyed. That's why Paul says to us by the inspiration of the Spirit of God to all of us, it's a command. Be strong in the Lord and take on the power that God says, I want to hand over to you. I want you to have this power. To do that, you put on the whole armor of God. It's called the armor of God, not the armor of the world. It is not the armor of men. It's not the armor of the church. It's not the armor of the pastor. It is the armor of God. God himself designed it. God is the one who crafted it. God is the one who knows exactly, with this armor on, my soldiers will be able to stand. In warfare, everybody wants to design good armors. Designing a tank, National Geographic, they gave a history on all the powerful tanks. It's amazing. It's very interesting. You like design? You see how those historians describe the kind of armor protection they had in the olden days? It is all directly proportional to the weaponry available. In the past, they have arrows and spears. No rifles, no guns, no gunpowder. And so the protection will be with reference to the weaponry. Arrows and spears and swords. That's about it. Close combat, distant combat, spear and arrows. Beyond a certain distance, spear and arrow useless. When they invented gunpowder, you have to increase the armory. What kind of armory is good to stop a bullet? And now they have armor piercing. What kind of armor is good to stop an armor piercing bullet? So the armory will have to vary according to the weaponry of the enemy. And God knows the weapons of the Satan and his demons. He had at his disposal 1/3 of all the angels that God created on day one. 1/3 fell with him when he fell. When he wanted to be God, God cast him out. So he had a lot of helpers till today. They are not omnipresent. If they are here in Singapore, they're not in America. If they're in America, they're not here. But there are many, many of them. How many? We do not know. But we know there are many. And God knows what kind of weapons they are, what our enemies are. And so God has designed for his children, this is the armor that I want you to have. And when you have this armor on, you're going to stand. And the whole armor is where we get the English word panoply. Panoply means the whole armor, all of it, exactly what it means. Panoplia. The whole armor, not bits and pieces. So when you read this few verses on the armor of God, the whole armor of God, again, you miss one piece out, you are in mortal danger. That will be your weakness. All of it on. Why? The spiritual command, why is it so necessary? Because of the spiritual warfare. Verse 11b to verse 12. We are in a spiritual warfare because God wants us to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles there is the word for method. The English word for method. It is going to be a very methodical attack from Satan. Satan is not an idiot. He is not a fool. He is wiser than any one of us. Don't think that he is just a gonkia, you know, stupid fool, dressed around with red horns and then holding, you know, he is not a fool, please. He is smart, he is cunning, far wiser than the most brilliant man on planet Earth. He can tempt you without you realizing it. He can cook you without you realizing it. Slowly but surely, you're going to die. He is no fool. The wiles of the devil, he is a dangerous nemesis, in other words. His attacks will be very methodical. He knows your weakness, your weaknesses for some of us, plural. He knows exactly what it is. He knows we struggle with prayer, for example. He knows we struggle with keeping the Sabbath day holy. And so he will bring in temptations. Your children are suffering in their exams. Tuition, have it on Sunday. Pass on this notion to our children. Don't bother about keeping the Sunday holy. Do whatever is possible. Everybody else is doing it. And they are succeeding very well. You have failed, dear friends. Getting straight A's in school is not passing the spiritual exam. Spiritual exam is in honoring God. You have just failed. Sure, the world will pat you on the back, will give you all kinds of scholarships. But as far as God is concerned, you have failed. You don't understand the spiritual realm. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Why do we struggle with coming to prayer meeting? Why have you no struggle going on tennis matches or golf games or barbecue? When we have a church barbecue, people will have no problem coming. Family day, have games, run here, run there, perspire under the hot sun, no problem. But come unto church to pray, All kinds of reasons and excuses will come. Somehow or other, the stomachache will come just at the right time. The headache will come at the right time. Something else will creep in. Temptations from Satan, dear friends, to discourage us, to cause us, oh, it's raining, oh, I better not come for sunset. It's raining. I'd rather sleep a little longer, stay in. It's so inconvenient. How many people left the church because of convenience? There's a church just downstairs. What's the problem? Whether it's ecumenical or not ecumenical, doesn't matter. Convenience is a very attractive tool. Sleep longer on Sunday. I just walk downstairs, quick change, I'm here. Why take the trouble of 30 minutes, 40 minutes in the MRT on Sunday to come here? What's the purpose? What's the point? All kinds of struggles will come methodically. Not just hit and run. He is a very wily, methodical enemy. And what he wants is you. He wants your loyalty. He wants your time. He wants to deceive you, making you think that by doing this thing my way, it is God's way. What makes your way God's way? The only God's way is the Bible's way. All of us think we are smarter than God, and we read books on psychology here, psychology there, and we read books of men, and we listen to the voice of men more than the voice of God. Watch out. He is a methodical, wily enemy. And he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Doesn't mean that we have no human enemies. But these human enemies that God sent our way, behind them would be the spiritual enemy, the devil, the evil one. That's our struggle. Because the struggle is how you're going to react, isn't it? The enemies will be there. And how are you going to react? Are you going to capitulate? Are you going to give up? Or are you going to stand? I can't count the number of times I want to quit the ministry. I want to leave this church. Sick and tired of all the nonsense. Do you know that? You think you're the only one who wants to quit? So many of us want to quit. Can't count the number of times, honestly speaking. The struggle that you go through, day in, day out. Day in, day out. Non-stop, week after week, week after week. Day off, what day off? Any leave, no leave. The only leave you go overseas is to preach. And when they send you overseas to preach, they squeeze you like a towel to see how much sweat you have left. 20, sometimes 30 messages in 2-3 weeks. And people here complain, going there on holiday. All these things really force you. What's the point, you ask yourself? You want to quit? Sure, many times. Can't even count them. You serve the Lord. You never talk about pay, whether they pay you or not pay you, continue to serve. No day off, no leave, never mind. And then you read letters, church employee. Whoa. You want to quit? Sure, I want to quit. Who doesn't? The problem is not outside. The problem is me. How do I react and respond to discouragements? How do I react and respond to all the problems that come? All the nights are burned. Do you realize that? Monday night, if not Bible study, do counseling. Tuesday night, prayer meeting. Wednesday night, Bible study. Thursday night, if not night class, you go to write papers. Friday night, Bible study or not speaking engagements. You help churches outside. 3 other churches. Go to write the BBK notes. Go to write DHW notes. Go to get the Sunday Gospel Hour notes out. Go to teach in FEBC. Go to mark papers. Go to prepare lessons. And on top of that, all the nonsense will come. I never realized how expensive lawyers are. Dokuto called me many times to call the lawyer. I say, no, I don't want to call. Every time you call, she'll bill you. I don't want to call. I don't have the money. I'm not going to call her. Every time I call her, she bills you. It's not nice talking to lawyers. That's why when I go to my sister's house, she's a lawyer, the husband also a lawyer. I try to pick some free information, talk to them about law. Yeah, free, just talk to him. He charges about $1,000-$2,000 an hour outside. So I go to his home, FOC. So I talk to them. You learn things that you never learn in seminary or Bible college. The problem is not outside. It's inside how you react and respond. Because the Bible says, Satan
is principalities and powers, rulers and authorities, powerful individuals. That's the meaning of the word. Principalities means powers. Powers here means authority. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, he controls the spiritual realm. And through the spiritual realm, he manipulates the carnal realm, the realm that we see, the three-dimensional realm. He is in control of governments. He is in control of armies. He is in control of publications. He is in control of Hollywood. He is in control of the mass media. He is in control of the economic realm. He is in control of the physical world. He is the prince of this world. And for us as Christians, as spiritual people, we are not wrestling with the three-dimensional realm. We are wrestling with the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm. And that's why it is inside us. And the Bible says that the nature of these powerful beings, they are wicked. Spiritual wickedness in high places. They are not nice. They are wicked. They are here to destroy you, destroy your life, destroy your witness. And it's so easy to fall nowadays. The moment our focus is wrong, we fall. It's so easy to please men. The temptation is so real to quit the calling, to quit the ministry, to quit the faith. How many have fallen? They love the world so much. They allow the world to creep into their life. They've stopped serving. They just come to church and mark time. And to soothe their conscience, they give their tithe and offering. They give a little bit more than the 10%, thinking that that's what God wants. The enemy is real and he is powerful. Do not underestimate him. Or them. They will come in and creep in from the world and inside the church. They are going to come in. God has already warned us time and time again to discourage us, to cause us to doubt, to cause us to be frustrated, to be bitter, to be angry. All these are emotions that will destroy us. Our walk with the Lord, our prayer life, our reading of scriptures. When you're bitter, when you're angry, how to read God's word? When you're bitter, when you're angry, how to pray? When you're discouraged, how to pray and how to be nice? How to serve the Lord when you're so burdened by all these testings and trials? Because the problem is not outside. Sure, outside forces are there to affect you, to try to cause you to give up. And it's so real. So very rare, and doesn't seem to cease. And as you mature, as you grow, it comes from many, many directions and many, many angles. Not just from one direction, many directions. And you feel so overloaded, as if you're going to explode. Throw in the towel. Sometimes I dream. If I just quit, I just look after the family, I just look after my wife and my children's spiritual well-being, then I have to answer to God only for my wife and my children. So long as I'm here, I've got to answer for the spiritual well-being for all of the people that God brings into this church. I have the answer to the Lord, and it is very scary. What am I going to say when I failed him? If I just look after my family, I just quit. Itinerary preacher, just go to churches here when they invite you, just speak, and that's it, run away. Speak and run away. No responsibility, only the family. Teach them. Teach them the word of God. But is that what God wants? People will cause you to want to give up and quit. In seminary, my wife and children were back home in Singapore, all alone, snowing outside, 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. You're still there typing, doing your assignment, going to pass it up the next morning. Everyone is asleep in the small little room that you have. Outside is snowing. Feel like quitting. What am I doing halfway around the world and studying this kind of nonsense? You know what I was studying? Old Testament higher critical methodologies. How to attack God's word. Old Testament. Miserable. Read 1,000 pages in 2 weeks and write papers. Every page I turn to make me want to vomit and get angry. Feel like throwing the book away. But I have to read it. Nonsense. And write papers on it still. And then you realize the Lord has called you. And then you indulge in self-pity. And then you weep. And then you cry. Then you apologize to the Lord, forgive me. And then you move on. How many times you feel this way?
Because the problem is not out there. The problem is how you react and respond to all the attacks that Satan will send your way. And it's the same for all of us. For all of you. Me too. All of us. As long as you want to live for Christ, Satan will not be pleased with you. And the more you want to serve him, the more you want to be spiritual, you'll be prepared for more attacks. He's not going to leave you alone. If you are not doing anything, Satan will be very happy to leave you alone, to ignore you. You want the world, he'll give you a piece of the world. You want money, he'll give you money. You want promotion, he'll give it to you. So long as you do not pray, you do not do the work of God, you do not do the will of God, it's fine. But as long as you do the will and the work of God, you'll be prepared for attacks, for struggles, for battles, because the problem is inside. And so God says to us, spiritual command, it is a spiritual warfare, you put on the spiritual armor. What exactly is this piece of armor? Verse 13, God says, you put it on, I am handing it to you. Verse 13 says, are you going to take it? It's up to you now. That's what verse 13 says. Will you take it? It's now right in front of you. Take unto you, will you? He's giving it. Do you want to take it on? If you want to, this is it. It's given to everyone, every Christian. It is yours. If your mom, your dad, they have it on, it's for them only. You have to put it on yourself. Nobody can put it on your behalf. You have to put it on yourself as a Christian, young and old alike. The whole armor of God, all of it, repeated just to in case you think that it's bits and pieces. That ye may be able to withstand. The word withstand means stand against. Stand against what? In the evil day, it will come. And having done everything that is possible, you will continue to stand. You will not move. You will not allow any of these discouragements, these attacks, to cause you to sway from the calling of your salvation and the calling of the purpose of the life that God has given to you. You will not let people's words, people's attacks, all the lies that you hear, because you want to defend the word of God, defend the testimony of Christ, to discourage you to stop defending. It is very real that at the end of your life, you will continue to stand. To do that, you have to withstand the evil one. And to withstand the evil one, you take on the whole armor of God. And the first piece, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. They wear a very loose, long robe. And whenever they are told to be ready, they have to pull up the rope and tie it using their girdle so that they can move fast, they can run. That was exactly what God told the Israelites before they left Egypt. Gird up your loins. Get ready. Be prepared to move out fast from the land of bondage quickly. Don't delay. But why is it called the gird of truth? Why is it to gird about with truth? What truth? Is it subjective truth, that is to live a truthful life, a conversation is yay, yay, nay, nay? Or is it the truth of the Bible? I believe it is both. The truth of the Word of God and the life that is filled with truth. No lies. Don't tell lies. Don't be a liar. And the truth would be Scripture itself, objective truth, the Bible, the inerrant, infallible, divinely inspired Word of life. The Word of God. Love it, know it, and be ever ready with it as your defense. The Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing that you must be ever ready with, to have the Word of God. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? He used the Word of God. The Word of God will keep you, help you. The Word of God to help you evaluate circumstances, to search your own soul, to search your own life. The Word of God. We all struggle, dear friends, from the attacks of the evil one. All of us, from many different directions, at different degrees, different levels. Gird about with truth. How well do you know Scriptures? Memorizing the Word of God on Sunday these few seconds? Is that all we do? How many of us really take time to study and to meditate? Oh, you heard this before. Fine. But we have to say it again and again because that's all we have. That's all God gives to us, the Word of God. What else do you want us to tell you? If we ask you, please go and climb up Mount Faber, Bukit Timah Hill, 10 times, and you're going to be a spiritual person. You want to do it? God did not ask us to climb Mount Everest.
God didn't ask us to swim an Olympic-sized swimming pool 100 laps. Then you will be a spiritual person. He simply asks us to know the word, to be equipped so that you know the word at your fingertips, to know the Bible, because this is the milk and the meat to the souls of all my children, the word of God. What else can we give to you as a church other than what God has given to us, the word of God? And so all the programs that we have in the church design around the word of God. Our kindergarten is designed around the word of God. All the fellowship groups, the CMC, the CMS, the contact groups, the Bible study groups, everything is designed around the word of God, because that's all we have. That's all God gives us. And that's what God commands and demands from all of us. But the thing is, it is there. Are you going to take it up? Are you going to put it as your priority? Are you really going to see this as your priority? Because nobody can force you. If you do not want to put it on, fine. It's up to you. But be sure, be rest assured that the enemy is still out there. He will be very happy if you don't put it on. He will be the happiest person if you don't put it on. Forget about it. Do you know how hard it is to sustain an evening service on Sunday? Most people are so contented with morning service. That's about it. Every Wednesday, I teach a Bible study group. They are from the Methodist Church. I don't go to the church. I go to the home of one of the members. And I told them, yes, I'm prepared to help you and teach you the Word of God. Because they do not get the teaching in their church. And I see the change, the transformation that the Word of God has done in their lives. I've been teaching them for a year and a half now, God, by God's grace. I can really see the change. And one of them asked, can we have it twice a Sunday? Twice a Sunday? I say, I'm afraid I can't. I mean twice a week. I say, I run out of nights. I don't have any more nights to give you. They really want to learn. That's why we go. Because we can see the power of the word in transforming the lives of these people. They can see them change. They can see them accept the difficulties, the struggles that they have in life. The son had a blood vessel. It snapped. It broke. One of the brightest students in school. And then that tragedy occurred. And because of the tragedy, they came to know the Lord. I've shared this before with some of you. I just want to share it again. The first time I met them, they wanted to do the book of James. And so, all right, I did the book of James with them. The first lesson, 1.5 hours, only 4 verses. They were shocked. We did not know that the Bible could be studied in this manner. They thought we would just go through one chapter and that's it. Book of James within a few sessions and that's it. And then you know what James is, right? Chapter 1, verse 1. Count it all joy when you go through diverse temptations. So I shared ignorantly, count it all joy, whatever the difficulties, you count it all joy. And the mother of the boy said, Pastor, I find it very hard to count it all joy, my only son. Now, he came out of a coma, he cannot walk properly, he's on a wheelchair, he can think, he can clear, he has improved tremendously this past 1.5 years. She said, I find it very hard to count it all joy. How to count it all joy, my only son? Running around bright, happy, cheerful, and then now suddenly this thing happened. But because of the son's condition, they came to know the Lord. And I do not know what to say. I, in my stupidity, I said something like this. Isn't it better to have him than not to have him at all with you? Then the mother paused for a long while and then she said, I'm not so sure. The mother said, she had to look after him day in, day out, and now he has grown heavier, taller, stronger. You could help him in everything, could feed him, could dress him, count it all joy. How to do that? Then the father interjected. The father always smile, always have a smile on his face. Amazing. They don't have the word of God from their church, and so when they have the word of God outside the church, they long and they thirst for it. We have the word of God and we take it for granted. We take it for granted, all of us, to our shame. And the father said, interjected. I thank God he interjected. Said, I can count it all joy I prayed one prayer when I came to know Christ. Lord, please let my son call me father one more time. He was in a coma. The doctor asked him, please sign for organ donation. They all gave it up hope on him. And then 1 year, he came out of the coma exactly 1 year later. For the first time, the son called him dad. He was so happy. So happy. And now I look at their faces, always smiling. Every time they will take the trouble, they live so far away. They will come over here. First one to arrive with their son in a wheelchair to come for Bible study. We started about 8:15, 8:30 and finish about 10:15. And they will be there week after week, week after week after. If they cannot make it, they will get a tape. They will ask one of the members to tape. And the family that we have the Bible study in, he's been on dialysis for 7-8 years. And he will come back from dialysis, open his home. You know how tired a person is after dialysis? And he will open his home to have Bible study week after week, week after week, week after week. Week after week, every week, without fail, except when they have to travel. They will have it. Holiday, no holiday, will have it. When you have people like this who thirst and long for the truth, for the word of God, how can you not go? I thank God for my wife, my children, they never complain. My wife never complained, not even once, in the 21 years that we've been married. Whenever the Lord calls, when people call me, I have to go. She never complained. I thank God for her. If she complains, how to go with a clear and a happy heart? How to go? And you can see the transformation in the lives of these families. The other couple, the husband died of cancer. They also come and I give them quiz and they study and they learn. They will say, even the son will study for the quiz. Every week, whenever we finish one chapter, now we are doing Genesis, chapter by chapter, chapter by chapter. Hopefully after Genesis, they think of another book to study, another book to study. They want to have it continuously. Gird about with truth. There are people out there who long for the truth. And we have it, we disdain it. We don't bother about it. Ask us to study the word of God, we ignore it. Just to study a little bit more, we don't care. This is the first piece. Gird about with truth. And having the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is front and back piece to protect your heart. That's what it is. The righteousness, the breastplate is to protect the heart. The heart is your motive. The heart is the driving force, the will. What is your driving force? The motivation every morning you wake up. Satan will want to manipulate and attack that part of you. If you have the truth, you will be able to keep this in check. The righteousness that you have from the Lord Jesus Christ, the world can attack you and destroy you in many ways. You may be found in the church, you may be so theologically strong, but it can attack you if you are morally weak. A woman comes into your office, knock on your door while you're away from home in your hotel room, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Day in, day out, you've been feeding yourself with dirty movies. And then now this woman is there, your wife is away from home, and you are down, you are weak, you are low in your spiritual life, you succumb. That's it. You are done. You are cooked. You are dead. You have to repent in all the years of living a righteous life down the drain. Salvation is secure. Sure, if you're truly born again, you will be saved. But the shame that will come and the working and the climbing from the bottom all over again to make up with your wife, to apologize and to cry out to God and to apologize to the people that you hurt. All the sorrows will come. And worse still, if a child comes out of this sinful relationship, it compounds the whole problem and your life will be transformed and changed forever. The happiest person will be Satan and his demons, and they'll be standing there clapping their hands at this fool. Simple man, the Bible says. A fool is what the Bible says also. Did not know that the way that you live in this direction will have only one conclusion, and that is hell. That is hell itself. That's what Proverbs says. You allow a strange woman to lead you down this pathway. You have only one conclusion and you are like a cow, a bull that is led to the slaughter and there's only one conclusion and that is hell itself. And that's where you end up. Not that you lose your salvation, but the kind of life that you're going to live. How are you going to live? Every time afraid that one day the knock will become on the door. I am your son. Because of the relationship 15, 16, 20 years ago. It will haunt you for the rest of your life. Breastplate of righteousness. You keep yourself righteous before God and before man, inside and outside. Keep it. Your heart is where it is. It's here. It's not the problem. It's outside. It's a spiritual warfare. It's inside how you react and respond. You don't have to succumb to the temptations, no matter how tempting it is, if your heart is right with God. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Everywhere you go, be ready to give a tract and tell people about the gospel. Tell them. Tell them about the gospel. Be a witness for Christ. The gospels are, tracts are all there readily available in Mandarin, in English, and in other dialects as well. Take them. Give them out. Ever ready to have some in your pocket? Would you do it, please? It's free. Just take as many as you like. And now that Da Vinci Code is coming up, the movie is about to be screened, and so we have rushed this track. Hopefully you're going to use it, please. Take as many as you can use and give it to your friend. Would you? The blasphemy and deception of the Da Vinci Code. Please use it. As many as you can use, take them. It's all that design just for you. To warn your friends about the attack on the Word of God and on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ever ready. That's what God wants us. Everywhere you go. That's why He's called the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Go out there and tell people about Christ. You have the message that will bring peace between a sinner and his God. Why are you keeping it secret? Why is it so difficult to tell people? Tell them. You know why it's difficult, isn't it? It's a spiritual warfare. You're afraid that if I go, they're going to shout at me, scream at me, and I'm going to malu, I'm going to lose face. I'm going to be humiliated, I'm going to be embarrassed. You think it is fun to hang up on the cross half naked? You think it is fun for the Son of God to be humiliated in that manner? You want to talk about humiliation? How dare we talk about humiliation when we compare to the humiliation that the Lord Jesus Christ had to endure for you and for me? You want to talk about our face? What about the Lord Jesus Christ? The perfect Son of God and the Son of Man. He had no sin. We are sinners. And we want to talk about face. Be ever ready to take a tract and give someone. If they spit on our face, just take out your handkerchief and wipe it and move on. If they take a tract and crush it, bend it down, pick it up, clean it, and move on. Would you? That's part and parcel of the peace of the armor. And a shield of faith. Above all, take on the shield of faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God. And the anchor of faith is the Word of God again. This is the only shield that can help us, protect us against the fiery darts of the wicked one. They are called darts. Arrows, pointed weaponry to pierce, to attack, to destroy your faith. That you will not want to believe in Christ anymore. To quit trusting. I don't want to be a Christian anymore. The Christians are hypocrites. Discouragement. Fiery darts. We all feel like quitting, isn't it? That's why the Bible warns us, do not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. We encourage one another. I need your encouragement. You need my encouragement. We need to encourage one another. In the prayer meeting, we encourage one another. We pray for one another. You don't have to struggle alone, even though sometimes you feel as if you're struggling alone. Many times I feel I'm struggling alone. Sometimes the struggles that I feel, I can't even share with my wife, because for fear that she may not understand. It's a struggle. Because the problem again is inside. It's inside, it's not outside, it's inside. How you react and respond to the vicissitudes, the temptations, the attacks of the evil one. That is why the full armor of God must be put on. The helmet of salvation. Don't doubt your salvation. That is another attack. It'll make you doubt yourself. Am I safe? Am I not safe? Am I safe? Am I not safe? Doubt your salvation. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I have to go quickly now, run out of time. Sword of the Spirit, the only offensive weapon, begins with truth, the Word of God, defense, and also the same Word of God can also be offensive. To attack, using the Word of God. That's all we have, dear friends. That's the whole armor. Did you see verse 18? That's the key. Put it on, never take it off. That's why it is called an action passage. Put it on and keep it on. How to keep it on? By praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. not just for yourself, dear friends, for all saints as well. You put on the armor of God to defend yourself and to protect others in the process. Time and time again, I've got to remind myself how I react and respond to the problems in this church will affect not only myself, but my wife, my children, and the members in this congregation. If I throw in the towel and I quit, how will it affect the congregation? What will happen to them? What will happen to my wife and my children? Where are they going to go? I can look after them. We can have a house church. Fine. But what about the rest? Where are they going to go? Because we care for you. We love you. We are prepared to do anything for you as pastors. That's what we are called to do. You are the sheep of Christ. No matter what happened to us, we have to look after the flock, come what may. That's why we pray and pray and pray. At the same time, put on the whole armor of God to the best of our ability with God's help, with God's enabling. Whatever the discouragements that will come, and they will come, and they will continue to come, it's not going to stop. We know that. And sometimes you feel like throwing the towel, but the thing is, we cannot throw in the towel. None of us can afford to do so. Because it is a spiritual warfare. And so we pray, and we trust in the Lord to hold on to the truth without compromising, at the same time, to continue to sustain and to watch over the flock with much prayer, defending and fighting. Nobody likes to go to court to be sued. It's so easy. Keep my mouth shut. Let the word of God be attacked. Keep my mouth shut. Don't protect the flock. I will not be sued. Very easy. It's easy. Problem solved instantaneously. Keep my mouth shut. Let the word of God come under attack. Let the sheep come under attack. I will have an easy life. But can I do that? I would fail the Lord. I would fail all of you. And so if we have to sue, be sued, so be it. So be it. We must not succumb under threats. If we are afraid, we cannot fight God's battle. Cowards are useless in the battlefield. Be strong and very courageous was what God said to Joshua 3 times. Why? Because Joshua needed it. And so do all of us. Be strong and very courageous. That's what verse 10 says. Be strong and very courageous. Cowards are useless. Don't be a coward, dear friends. You stand up to the onslaught of the evil one. And God says, I will give you the armor. Will you take it? This is it. And once you put it on, you don't take it off. And the way not to take it off is you pray. You pray without ceasing. Continue to pray. We will pray with you. We will pray for you. But you come and pray with us. It is a spiritual warfare. You feel that, well, my life is fine, fine, but there are many others whose life needs your prayer, needs your encouragement. Would you come and pray with us every Tuesday evening, please? Come and be instructed in God's word, not just in the morning, but also in the evening, for your own soul's sake. Pass on to your children something that is spiritual, whereby they can see in mom and dad that we are a spiritual parent. We want to give to you some spiritual values, the importance, spiritual values that you must hold on to. Prayer, importance of the Word of God in your life. Contact groups, Bible study groups, the fellowships. Make it a point to come so that the people in our church, youngest to the oldest, may know that we are truly people of the Word of God. People who obey the word of God in our lives, that when you are well trained in the spiritual realm, you go out into the world, you will be able to stand. At the end of all the struggles, you will continue to stand. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts once again, O Lord, this morning. As we examine our own lives, each and every one of us, may thy Holy Spirit touch our hearts to know how much we need thee, how this world that we are living in is not a friendly place. It is a battleground in the spiritual realm. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in high places and wicked beings, desiring to destroy and to attack us. May thy people put on the whole armor of God that thou hast given to us, that at the end of our life's journey,
we may all continue to stand in the most holy faith. Defend us, protect us, O Lord, against the wiles of the devil, that we may be found faithful until we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.